Moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A shooting by a 17-year-old boy in the school cafeteria today at Nashville's Antioch High School. Police spokesman Don Aaron.
The individual wounded two other students, one of them fatally, before shooting and killing himself.
No word why it happened. President Trump meeting with Republican lawmakers today. Earlier, House Speaker Mike Johnson standing by Mr. Trump's pardoning 1,500 January 6th rioters.
It's kind of my ethos, my worldview. We believe in redemption. We believe in second chances. If you could, you would argue that those people didn't pay a heavy penalty, having been incarcerated and all of that. That's up to you. But the president's made a decision. We move forward.
House Speaker Johnson criticizing President Biden pardoning family members, calling it shocking. A new Republican committee will investigate the investigation of January 6th. The Pentagon is preparing to send up to 1,500 more troops to the border. This is ABC News. On trial in West Virginia, a couple accused of child abuse and neglect.
A West Virginia woman denies locking two of her adopted children in a shed despite police finding them behind a locked door. Jean Whitefeather testified Tuesday calling the shed a teenager hangout and claiming the children had access to a key. Prosecutors allege Whitefeather and her husband, Donald Lance, forced the children into hard labor and deprived them of food. The couple facing multiple felony charges, including human trafficking and child neglect. Dave Packer, ABC News.
It's the 52nd anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling legalizing abortion through the country. Roe v. Wade standing until the Dobbs decision undid it in June 2022. Now each state decides the ready availability of abortion and related care. In Aspen, Colorado this week, the X Games will try using artificial intelligence to judge half-pipe runs. Freestyle skiing great Jeremy Bloom teaming with Google. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Allen. Wisconsin is joining a multi-state lawsuit against President Donald Trump's attempt to curtail birthright citizenship.
Democratic Attorney General Josh Call and Governor Tony Evers said Tuesday that the executive order is unconstitutional and that citizenship by birth is enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. Wisconsin, along with 19 other states, want to invalidate the order. President Trump and his supporters say birthright citizenship is being used by immigrants to illegally get a foothold in the United States. This is unlikely to be the only legal challenge against the executive order, one of dozens Trump signed hours after taking office on Monday. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
11 Wisconsinites are being pardoned for taking part in the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol. The action was another from the package of pardons and executive orders issued by President Trump after his inauguration. The convictions against them range from violent entry to the Capitol to felony disorderly conduct and bringing a dangerous weapon to the Capitol grounds. Trump is calling the pardons part of his Liberation Day and referred to the people convicted on charges related to January 6th as political hostages. A Wisconsin pilot killed during the Vietnam War has been accounted for.
The Defense POW/MIA account agency says Columbus native Lieutenant Colonel Donald Downing was accounted for last month, almost 50 years after he was reported killed in action. Downing served in Vietnam with the 557th Tactical Fighter Squadron in September of 1967, and during a nighttime reconnaissance mission, one of his fellow pilots witnessed a large fireball, and Downing stopped responding to radio calls. Search and rescue efforts were unsuccessful, and the Air Force reported Downing as killed in action in April of 1978. The DPAA says Downing's family was recently briefed about his identification and a funeral will be held at Arlington National Cemetery at a later date. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Hitting a major mark today with temperatures staying above zero. With mostly cloudy skies and light snow this afternoon, we're still battling a breezy wind, but it's out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour and shoving our highs to the mid-20s. Then, sunny and chilly tomorrow with highs near 10. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 23.
Corn, soybean, and wheat futures spike to new for the move highs, then turned down to give back a chunk of yesterday's gains. Cotton was mostly lower. Milk slipped under 19 bucks. Lean hogs were pulled to the upside. And live and feeder cattle futures pushed up to historic levels.
Live from the summit of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll begin with a conversation with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. Directly after the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Kind of a gloomy day out there. We've got a little bit of snow falling in northeast Iowa. I mean, come on. What is this? Yeah. Pensacola?
Right. Yeah.
Jeez.
Are we in Mobile or what?
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm a little off myself, too. You know, I think this may be the first time I said directly after the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I usually say directly following the news. And I said after today, and now I feel like my head isn't, like, aligned properly or something.
Have you got a cold?
I have no excuse. Oh. I really don't. I feel fantastic.
I would
fight a kangaroo. I would fight a kangaroo right now. That's how good I feel, Chip.
Don't do that.
No?
Don't do that. You know, they use their feet.
Oh, I know. I know all about their tricks.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Tricks. Yeah. You want to talk about tricks?
Hey-o.
How about $200 live cattle futures?
Wow.
We made it. This is pretty incredible to look at the quote screen right now and see a $200 price tag on February 2025 live cattle futures. And, well, not only that, how about a $5.82.5 gain in feeder cattle today?
Yeah, that's a pretty good day. Pretty good day for the March contract there.
Yeah, no doubt. It just really, really impressive moves. We're going to find out from Bubba what he thinks about things. And then Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. I don't know if Dan is ready for it or not, but we're going to start off asking him about $200 live cattle futures. What do you make?
Yeah.
What do you make of it? So
he knows the drill. He knows what to do.
I think he's no first timer here. I think he absolutely knows the drill. All right, buddy, let's get going with the markets.
Sure thing. Well, Chip, winter wheat futures gave up modest mid-morning gains to close slightly lower. March soft red winter wheat futures opened fractionally lower, but quickly turned to the upside and traded to the highest level since December 11. Futures then fell to close low range and below the opening range. Crop watchers are looking for evidence of how the hard and soft red winter wheat crops survived this week's cold temperatures. Some minor damage to the SRW crop is likely in the crop in the Tennessee River Basin, and the HRW crop in the Central Plains was also stressed. If there was any crop damage, Chip, we won't know until spring. March HRW wheat futures 0.75 cents lower, 5.74¾. March soft red wheat down 4¾, 5.54. March spring wheat, as of now, unsettled, 6.05 even, up a half cent on the day at last report.
Yeah, that's one of the tough things about the potential winter kill and the support that it brings to the winter wheat markets. We can anticipate that there's going to be some damage, but trying to figure out just how much and when it's going to be realized is really difficult.
Well, Chip, March corn futures opened slightly lower and spiked resistance at yesterday's high before falling back to match support at yesterday's low and to settle near the low of the day. USDA this morning reported the sale of 136,000 metric tons of U.S. corn to unknown destinations, but that positive demand news was offset by ideas that corn acres will increase from year ago. S&P Global Commodity Insights reported 2025 corn plantings at 93.5 million acres. That's up 2.9 million from last year. March corn futures were 5¾ cents lower, 4.84 and a quarter. May corn down 5¾ cents, 4.94. July corn futures closed at 4.95¾, down 5¼ cents, Chip.
That corn acreage estimate from S&P is up 700,000 acres from its most recent estimate. So the trend is pushing higher.
Well, March bean meal futures opened slightly lower, turned up to spike resistance at yesterday's high, and then fell back to close near session lows. Front month beans gave back about half of yesterday's gains. Soybean meal futures held on to short gains, while bean oil futures turned sharply lower. Word that China has stopped imports of Brazilian beans from five different exporters due to phytosanitary concerns raised some ideas of increased demand for U.S. beans. S&P Global also forecast the 2025 bean plantings at 83.3 million, down 3.8 million from 2024. March beans today, 11¼ cents lower at 10.56. May beans down 9.5, 10.68¼. July beans closed at 10.78¾, down 8½ cents.
There is a lot in the news there for Dan and I to break down here coming up in just a little bit. March bean meal today up $4.80. March bean oil down 135 points.
Well, Chip, I've got March cotton 52 points lower on the day at 67.14. Quickly on the livestock's front month cattle futures traded with a $200 handle for the first time. And even with the strong advance, futures remain at a discount to the cash market. February fat cattle, $3 higher, $200 and a nickel. March feeders exploded to a new high, gaining 582.5 to close 273.07½. Snoutside for you. Lean hog futures posted an inside trading day with the low range open and a high range close. February lean hog futures up 27½ cents to 81.47½, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
Sell, Wilson, sell.
Sell. What are you selling?
Sell the cattle.
You're selling the cattle?
Cattle. That's what I was, after I took my beating in the last go round, I said I was waiting for $2. There it is. I'm selling.
There it is. There it is. I mean, do you feel a little like you might be standing in front of a freight train?
No. I think I'm going downhill from here. I honestly believe that, you know, I think that this is the time. This is what I was looking for. Another all-time new high. I mean, the economy, no way can support these prices. So I have to play it that way. But more importantly, I think it's time to short equities for a trade anyways, because I think they're too high and they're well overbought.
Okay. All right. New high in the S&P. I mean, again.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's a new high, but it's very overbought. I'm not saying we're going down yet. But I'm saying that I think that there's going to be, I think you'll see, within by next time we talk, we'll have seen a 100-point down day in the S&P.
Okay. All right. Well, with the amount of volatility that we're seeing there, that would not be a surprise. Setback in the grains today, but you got to like the overall trends, right?
Oh, no, I love that grains. I think, listen, wheat has been the weak sister, but it started to move a little bit. Corn and beans look great. They should have pulled back a little bit, which they did. And, again, remember, markets are mathematical. They get a little bit overbought. They're going to pull back a little bit, and that really makes them stronger. If they can pull back correctly and come back to the mean, then there's going to be some more buyers going to step in. And this rally has been very good because the rally has been slow and steady, not a gigantic one-day rally.
Yeah. Okay. 10 seconds. Put a grade on the first 48 hours of Trump 2.0.
He's awesome. Listen, he's taking care of business, and he's going to, if you don't want to do it his way, you're going to get higher tariffs if you're out of this country.
Yep. All right. All right, Bubba. Good stuff, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Vic. I appreciate it.
You bet. Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. You know, I think we're going to talk with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company about what's going on in this cattle trade. And I kind of like that last question. How do you grade the first 48 of Trump 2.0? We'll find out.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
The National Pork Board cares about your farm legacy. New grant opportunities are available to help you steward your land and your future. Are you interested in boosting conservation on your farm to shore up your land and legacy for future generations? Let the National Pork Board help with technical and financial assistance to implement some impactful conservation practices. Get started today. Simply request your Pork Cares Farm Impact Report to explore funding support for these practices. Get started today at porkcares.org.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit fbn.com/agritalk. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Davis.
Before we get going, do the intro here so they know what they're listening to, but I just want to mention something before you get into the conversation.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Okay. That's Ben. Davis.
Good job. I just wanted to highlight the disciplined approach that Bubba's taken there. He set a number, and he is acting on that number. And yep. You were all like, Yeah, I don't know if it's done, though. That's his number, he says. That's the number right. that he's sticking with. I just wanted to point that out, because we talk about it all the time. Maintain that discipline, know those numbers, and use those. And here it is in practice demonstrated for us. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Outstanding.
While it was still fresh.
Very good. Very good. All right. Let's bring in Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. Dan, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm really well, Chip. How are you? Everything good?
Everything is good. Good, good. Especially if you're long cattle. Good grief, Dan. It's a historic moment in this live cattle trade to get a close at $200 plus.
No, it really is, but the cash market's been there. Futures have been lagging. I don't see any end to the structural bull longer term. There can always be corrections, and this would be the time of the year you may see that. But what we're looking for is the consumer to slow down in beef demand. No evidence of that yet, but we will watch beef carefully in the next couple of weeks to see how negative packer margins become, Chip. But, you know, again, we just don't have the mother cows. We're not going to be rebuilding the herd, and demand stays relatively strong for all meats in the United States.
Yeah. You know, the demand issue is something that we've all been watching for, and it's been our wild card issue in this cattle trade. And beef demand on a per capita basis went up in 2024, Dan. It's mind-boggling.
It makes sense. You got to remember, people like me are getting older. And as you get older and we're still relatively wealthy, we buy protein because old people need more protein in their diet. Consumers are not seeing any slowdown on spending. You see the labor market, which is relatively strong. I don't see a recession in the next two or three quarters, and I think the new president will prevent that. So, you know, when you step back, there can always be corrections in cattle. But as I said, I don't see a reason to back away from the species in terms of a longer term bull market.
Okay. Yeah, and the supply side of the market has been well documented. You mentioned that to begin with. But the thing that just strikes me so hard in this cattle trade is, you know, we talk about a 10% setback in live cattle futures, and we've seen that multiple times over the years. But there have been times in the past where, you know what, I don't know if that's really worth a hedge or not. It's definitely worth a hedge when we're at $200, isn't it?
Well, you got to manage your volatility and you got to manage margin. And when you get to these prices, there is going to be volatility. A 5% move means much more at $200 than it did at $100. So, you know, that's the message for livestock producers. But again, saying that, you know, I don't want to sell margin at a loss. In other words, there's no reason to buy feeders and sell margin at a loss. You should get opportunities. And I need to get this border open with additionality coming in from Mexico. You know, that's the one thing that if you look for a correction, the screw worm is keeping those numbers down. And I think that'll continue. And so can the U.S. dairy industry and beef and dairy step up and produce over 1 million head a year? They're not there yet in terms of that availability. So that's why I said it's a structural bull market, but it's going to be volatile.
Yeah. What's the latest that you're hearing on that Mexican border and reopening to Mexican cattle?
You know, my people are telling me they're trying to get it going, but don't look for runs to be any more normal than, let's say, 20 or 25% in the first couple of months. So, you know, Mexico's backing them up. They'll put them if they can on feed down there. But, you know, as we get into the warmer season up here and get drilling going, that's why I said the demand for feeders is going to be strong and it's going to lead us higher. So, screw them or something we do not need in the United States. So I applaud APHIS and everybody involved to keep it out of our country.
Yep, excellent, excellent. You know, and the way that the feeder cattle market jumped today, I mean, the March contract up $5.82.5. It made me think, geez, did they reshut or did they double down on the border shutdown? I haven't heard any of that, but the way that the market traded today, it definitely had me thinking about it. So
And I don't know if it's doubling down, but I just think they understand the difficulty it is in controlling screwworm, and that getting animals coming forward is going to be a laborious process, almost individual inspections. And so this is not going to be easy, and this is going to have a lasting impact on fed cattle availability. And that's why I believe the markets are realizing that nature of it, and that's why we had the kind of rally we did.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. What do you make of the way that the grain markets have traded since January 10 reports?
You know, we've seen a better volume on the up days. There's obviously, looking at corn open interest, a fair amount of new speculative money coming at the grains. I think if I go back to late last summer, let's say the end of August, you know, grains and livestock combined have seen about 1 million extra contracts come in from the speculative community, the managed money and index funds. And so they've been driving the bus. Cash markets are relatively weak. In particular, the meal market's been up strongly the last couple of days. But, you know, if you're trying to sell meal in the northern Midwest, it's $55 under or more. And so, you know, cash and futures are disjoining here, which I think farmers need to pay attention to.
Yeah. Okay, so the changes that we got, let's focus on the corn S&D for just a bit. Had the big cuts on the supply side, took that yield down. That the yield cut, does that put a crop problem in the rearview mirror? Does it tighten up the supply side of the balance sheet enough that, you know, geez, maybe we ought to be thinking about July corn in that 5.25 range?
It is possible. I mean, it's only another 20, 25 cents. A fund buying could take us there. Yeah. But what comes to me in our research is you need to think of corn and soybeans in a dry matter basis. Okay. And so NASS has indicated, and I agree with this, that it was really, you know, the test weights that was not corrected back on the NASS level. So if I look at where feed and residual use should be, and I start looking at maybe ethanol grinds, and we can follow this month by month on ethanol, you know, we're seeing more ethanol produced than a bushel of corn, now up to 2.93. I believe we'll see more meat consumption on a bushel of corn. And so in my work, I'm taking down ethanol, I'm taking down feed and residual that I don't want to say totally offsets the yield decline, but it's getting very close. And so I want listeners to think about corn on a dry matter basis, not just the yield basis that USDA gave us.
Okay, so they took the $75 million off the total demand in the January S&D. Are you thinking that we need to take some more off?
I'm thinking we need to take off, and again, maybe by May or June, as we get additionality on stocks reports, quarterly stocks report, that feed and residual could come down anywhere between 150 and 250 million bushels, and maybe ethanol needs to come down 25 to 75 relative to the dry matter basis that's out there and some of the yields that we're getting both for ethanol and feed conversion on livestock.
Wow. Okay. Well, then all of a sudden we're going to be talking about a carryover back up into the where are you looking at on
1.7, 1.75 on corn. Okay. And, you know, beans could be, you know, processors are telling me we could maybe take the crush down, relatively speaking, for similar reasons and have, you know, bean end stocks make it back up to, you know, 430, 440 million bushels.
The deeper we get into this marketing year, Dan, the wider the range is getting on carryover as far as trade guesses, because some are going to be in there as low as a 1.45, call it. And now you're telling us 1.7, 1.75. That range is getting wider. That's got to add to the volatility of the market.
Well, it will. And this is one of those, you know, when you get a record decline in January on corn yield, you need to dig deeper and understand why. Yeah. And then when you understand why, you need to take it further and start to plot it into your demand profile. This is an unusual year. In my 45 years in this business, I've not seen something like this. But I think we can follow it. And the canary in the coal mine for what we're doing is trying to follow ethanol yields and also talk to the livestock industry and feed industry and start to understand what they're seeing in feed conversion rates. So those are different than prior years, but something worth watching. I also believe the Brazilians will be aggressive. You know, when you think down to Brazil, talking to several clients of mine down there today, I mean, they're looking at U.S. equivalents of $6 in corn and $13.40 on beans. That's really got them excited, and they will continue to expand.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to stop that from happening right now. Okay, we are right in the middle of a conversation with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. We need to kind of have the conversation that we just had with about corn. We need to have that same conversation on soybeans. That's what we will do next here on AgriTalk.
Markets in Music City. It has a nice ring to it. That's why we want you to meet us in Nashville for the AgMarket.net Farm and For Profit Not Price Conference, February 2nd and 3rd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel, with presentations geared toward risk management, a market outlook, technical analysis, and more. All while socializing some of the top analysts and producers around the country just steps from Broadway. Give us a call to register at 844-4-AG-MRKT or head to AgMarket.net. There's a risk of loss in trading futures and or options.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 0.75 cents lower at 574.75. March SRW down 4.75 to 554. March corn futures were 5.75 cents lower today at 484.25. July corn futures closed at 495.75, down 5.25 cents. March soybean futures 11.25 cents lower today, 10.56. May beans down 9.5 cents to 10.68¼. March cotton 52 points lower today, 67.14. On your livestock's February fat cattle, $3 higher, $200.05. March feeders exploded to a new high, gaining 582.5 to 73.07½. Feb lean hog futures up 27.5 to 81.47.5. Get more. Visit TryProFarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Attention all egg producers. It's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference, Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Hitting a major mark today with temperatures staying above zero. With mostly cloudy skies and light snow this afternoon, we're still battling a breezy wind, but it's out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour and shoving our highs to the mid-20s. Then, sunny and chilly tomorrow with highs near 10. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 23.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. Dan, question came in during the break. If we're looking at it on a dry matter basis, this person says, I completely understand what you're talking about. But you got to follow that up with, have they cut the supply side far enough, the 2024 crop far enough to account for the same thing?
Well, we don't know, Chip. I mean, we're not going to get a final corn or soybean yield estimate until September now. It's all about feed and residuals, so we'll adjust those accordingly. But by that time, no one's really going to care. Where stocks reports forthcoming will give us some evidence about, you know, dry matter. But listen, I think that the farmer, as he reported, the USDA did account for the moisture levels. Remember, USDA and their final crops are supposed to use a 15.5 moisture on corn and 13.5 on soybeans. They did that in their operational fields, but the farmer had a hard time adjusting. So I think the mass majority of it's included.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. China, changing over to soybeans here. China has refused to take shipment of soybeans now from 5 Brazilian exporters. They're claiming phytosanitary issues. Is that accurate, do you think?
Yeah, I do. In talking to one of the inspectors, the old crop that was sent from Brazil to China was, you know, had a lot of, how should I say it, foreign matter in it, a lot of splits and cracks. And then the Chinese, of course, that are trying to slow down the arrivals to help their crush margins, rejected it accordingly. I don't think it's anything of lasting nature or anything that's reflective of Brazil's crop for new crop, but you know, the Chinese are trying to slow the arrivals and that ahead of their Lunar New Year. So it does make sense to me. Do this something that's structural will be longer lived? I don't think so, but I'm disappointed, if you will, on China's import pace on soybeans altogether, Chip. We count vessels at Ag Resource. So we do like USDA and we follow vessels. And if I had to give you a number on Chinese imports of soybeans today, I would say it'd be around 100 to 101 million metric tons versus USDA's 109. China is under census that comes out monthly is lying again, but they're lying differently than last year. So rather than USDA raising exports to China, we think there's significant cuts that'll come in coming months.
Oof. So we're at 380 on on the soybean carryover from USDA. What are you thinking?
Yeah, no, we're at 433 right now, so we're a little higher. I mean, the U.S. program to China, that we've still got some leftover stuff to sell, but I don't think it's going to have a big impact there. Where it has a bigger impact will be on new crop, where the export tail from Brazil may extend all the way to November and really cut into our exports for new crop position. And so that's where I'm concerned, and that's where we have cut exports for new crop, you know, 100, 150 million bushel below the USDA. It's still a long ways away. Lots could happen, but I want to tell you the Chinese economy is still not doing very well. And yeah, today there was lots of rumors about China washing out wheat cargoes that were bought from Australia. They've only bought 500,000 tons of wheat in the new crop year, and about half of that's already been washed out. So the Chinese grain and soybean import profile's not looking very rosy.
Okay, the biofuels programs, industry, whatever you want to call it, the incentives that we're looking at out there, how do you think that, where do they stand under the Trump administration? Is it something that the biofuels industry should be concerned about?
Listen, I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I mean, Brooke Rollins is having her confirmation hearing today. I'm trying to listen to see if there's something, some tidbits that are coming forward on that. We just don't know. So I really don't know how to answer you. We had proposals from President Biden. It'll probably take a reconciliation bill or something to get some of that confirmed. There's obviously a open comment period, public open comment till April 10th. I'm thinking that we probably won't know on any of this stuff until Memorial Day or after, which leaves the biofuel industry kind of in the lurks, if you will, on incentives. And so I've had plants that have either on a renewable diesel and biodiesel slow down or stop. Ethanol margins are now at their worst levels, looking backwards for about 12 months. So, you know, we need some help on this, and I'm not expecting it to come soon from the Trump administration.
Okay. Okay, South American crops. Can the markets get any help from South American crops? Have they at least stopped getting bigger?
Yeah, I think that's the big note in the market going back to the middle or end of December. They stopped getting bigger, and maybe the Argentinian crop is getting smaller. We have the Brazilian soybean crop at 172. We're getting ready to do a big crop tour at the Bank of Brazil starting next week. We'll spend 2 weeks in the fields and try to get some bandwidth on what we see. But, you know, at the moment, 172 seems to be right. Down in Argentina, we've cut the soybean crop down to 50. So there is reasons in Argentina due to regional dryness to take the crop down, and there is some pretty good stress down there. Corn, I could drop a couple million tons in Argentina also. And in Brazil, it's just too early to make any real good forecasts on safrinha, with that planting still a couple of weeks away.
Is that enough to have any impact on the U.S. markets, the 172 and the 50, and corn Argentina down a couple of million tons?
I would like to tell the U.S. farmer yes, but I unfortunately could say it's kind of a wash. Yeah. You know, when you put it all together, the Brazilian, the big question for Brazil is, can their logistics and storage and can their industry handle a 170-plus crop? That is unknown. We'll try to watch it very carefully. Today, Paranaguas soybeans are about $1.20 underneath the U.S. Gulf. We think they slide to maybe 150 to 170. As Brazil tries to have a fire sale to get rid of some stuff. But, you know, the harvest is only 2 to 3%, so we need to get a couple weeks down the road before we can better understand it.
Okay. All right. Man, oh, man, we have covered a lot of ground already here, Dan. And based on what I've heard so far, it seems to me that you're saying those that have sold into the grain rally, corn rally, soybean rally since Jan 10, are they making the right decision?
I think if, you know, the hard part any analyst always has is trying to understand when the fund buying coming out of the fire hose is done. I have that same problem. I don't have any idea. You saw today when they bought this morning, the market rallied, and when they stopped, the market declined. So cash basis levels are in decline. You know, they're relatively weak, but if the managed money keeps wanting to add to a long position, the market will keep going up. I don't see any inflation around per se, but they're betting that if Trump puts tariffs in play, that maybe there will be some inflation, and that seems to be their mindset. So as I'm trying to think about things, I think producers need to be rewarding some rallies. But again, trying to pick an exact top is trying to understand when the funds stop buying, and it's a hard one.
No doubt that is a hard one. What role does wheat have in all of this, Dan?
Well, the wheat market, you know, you're seeing some prices on new crop in the Western Plains, where wheat is now starting to work a little bit into feed rations. So they're having a, you know, wheat's kind of pricing itself as it needs. The Russian price is not changing much at $234, $235 a ton. South America, whether it's Argentina or Australia, has been filling world demand. We talked about that the last time I was on. And so I see wheat in a big range. I can't get excited one way or the other until there's a new crop weather problem. Maybe we had it with the cold in the plains, but we won't know that till spring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, boy, that waiting game gets old in a hurry, waiting to try to confirm if there's been some winter kill in the middle of January or not. So, here we go, waiting to try to figure that out. Okay, 2025 crop mix. We had the numbers from S&P Global today. Corn plantings, 93.5. Bean plantings, 83.3 million. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so our surveys and economic analysis would put the corn seedings at 93.1, so we're slightly under S&P. On soybeans, we're slightly over at 84.2. But again, I think the total mix at about 177.5 or 178 million acres is probably about right. Okay. Spring weather could add a little bit to each one, but, you know, we got to get there first. But I think 93 on corn and 84 on beans are good broad numbers to have today.
Okay, cotton's not doing much to hold on to acres, is it?
No, and wheat's not helping a lot. And, no. You know, we'll see what the February and revenue insurance values are. But, there seems to be a desire from the producer as we talk to them that they know that corn yields, if they plant a crop, corn yields could outshine soybean yields in a normal growing season. So it seems like they're wanting to plant for yield, maybe not plant for price, but plant for yield.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and plant for revenue, right?
Yep. That's right. Yeah. That's what yield does for us. I mean, it really had a big impact last year in terms of helping farmers, especially on corn. And that was noticed by the producer.
Yeah. So what do you want to do with 1050 November 25 beans and 460 corn?
Well, you know, I really want to get farmers to that they're on corn, they're a little bit above their break even. On soybeans, they're getting close to their break even. You know, I think it's time to get some new crops, the pricing in play. You know, go to something like 20, 25, maybe 33%, get something on the books. Let's see what the revenue insurance and where that, you know, coming places it. But I still believe with the incentives that are being provided to South American and Russian farmers through currency and otherwise, that the U.S. farmer needs to be rewarding rallies. And so that's where my head is at. And I'm just lacking a demand driver. You know, if we look back at prior bull cycles in agriculture, we need a demand driver. Maybe it's renewable diesel. I'm not sure today, but I need help from the Trump administration to make that decision.
It looks like it's got to come from the domestic side of the market. That's for sure. Yep. Man, oh man. These are always fantastic conversations. Thank you so much for making time for us.
It's always my pleasure. Good luck to everybody. Thanks, Chip.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dan. Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. All right, I'm going to try to digest a lot of that. And then Davis and I will be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Looking to get doctor-prescribed medication like Ozempic or Wegovy? Zelthy can help you get GLP-1 medications affordably, whether you have insurance and even if you don't. And 100% online. It's simple. Just text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started. Zelthy can help you get Ozempic, Wegovy, or Zepbound covered by your insurance company, so you pay as little as $0 for the medication if prescribed. No insurance? No problem. Zelthy can ship semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and Zepbound, for as little as $151 a month versus $1,000 plus for name brand medications. Either way, it's high quality medical care, weight loss coaching, and access to game changing medications, all 100% online with Zeldy and affordable with or without insurance. So don't wait. Text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started today on your weight loss journey with Zeldy. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text ACCEPT to 200-300. That's ACCEPT to 200-300. Text ACCEPT to 200-300.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Shop can't-miss deals going on now during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. For a limited time, get a free adjustable stand when you buy a DeWalt 12-inch miter saw. That's a $229 value. Plus, save $680 on a Midea 4-piece kitchen appliance suite. Now just $1,796. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Valid 113 through 124. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. While supplies last. See store or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You set high expectations for yourself, and so do we. As America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event, Commodity Classic has held record-breaking shows 2 years in a row, keeping you at the top of your game with a world-class trade show and inspiring education designed by farmers for farmers. Commodity Classic is elevating excellence in agriculture as we visit Denver for the first time in 2025. Join us March 2nd through 4th and discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. It's Wednesday today. In case you needed to hear that, Wednesday. Welcome to it. It's almost over. Well, I don't know. It's about half over. Depends on when you go to bed. You know, you could go to bed as soon as we're done, and it's all over.
Yeah.
And then it would be Thursday. It's up to you, folks. Davis Michelson here on AgriTalk with Chip Flory. Buddy boy, good news. Good news here in Kansas City. I've got the grocery flyer right in front of me, and per my usual, I have torn it as I tried to make that theatrical radio sound with it. Nonetheless, right. Beef chuck roast. Last we spoke, I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago, was it? Down a dollar, $5.99 a pound for a beef chuck roast. But
okay,
and that's pretty exciting, but not nearly as exciting as this Boston style pork butt roast, $1.49 a pound, baby.
Yeah,
man. I'm gonna go grab a couple of them roasts.
That's 8 pounds of pulled pork deliciousness.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. For me, and maybe I'm way off on this. Correct me if I need it here, buddy. I trust you. Sub $2 a pound is good enough for me on that Boston butt roast. Anything below $2 a pound, I'm in.
Yeah, buck and a half. When it gets to a buck and a half, it's hard not to buy.
Yeah.
And on the pork loins, you know, the whole loins, I'm looking at $1.79.
Yep.
When you get there, it's awfully difficult not to make some pork chop packages for the freezer.
I saw some pork loins here for about that too as well. And yep.
But $5.99 on the chuck roast off of
$5.99 on the chuck
$1.
Yeah.
From the last time we looked at your flyer.
That's right.
Jeez. It's.
I'm probably gonna pick up one of those too.
We're not doing anything. I shouldn't say we're not doing anything, but the consumers are eating right through this quote unquote high priced period of beef. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. You know. That's the thing with the cattle. We look at $200 fats, the February 25, the front month contract, up over $200 today. How much further can it run? Bossy went straight to the cash market, said, look, it's still at a discount to the cash market.
It is, yeah.
Talk to me about that, Chip. Is that a sure thing for higher futures prices?
No, I don't think so. No, it is not a sure thing for higher futures prices. But when you look at the cash trade and some of the sale barn trade that has happened out there, I mean, there's been some really fat cattle trade for $4,000 a head. So, I mean, you're talking about, you're talking about 1,900 pound animals for over $200 a thousand or a hundred, excuse me. And it's just mind boggling to see that kind of trade. And then you got 1,600 to 1,700 pound steers and heifers trading at 220. Yeah, in the sale barns. To me, that is Packers still trying to fill holes in their supply.
Yeah.
And now, like we talked about with Brian Grady from Pro Farmer yesterday, it sounds like Packers have better coverage than what they did a week ago and better than what they had 2 weeks ago. Reason that I think the industry or the observers are saying so is because they're buying cattle with a little bit of time on them. Don't deliver them today. Bring them on Friday, that kind of thing, or next week, whatever. They're buying them with a little bit of time. So that is suggesting that the Packers have the immediate hole in their needs filled. But the cash mark, the way that the cash is trading, it's I don't know if it's telling us that or not, Davis. It still feels like the Packers, if they could get their hands on more cattle, would definitely get their hands on more cattle.
The thing with the Mexican feeder cattle supplies.
Yeah.
About 100,000 head a month. Is that right? Do I remember that right? This is what we've imported from Mexico historically, recently?
Well, it depends on the time of the year, but
okay.
we're into a time of the year right now where there ought to be about 150,000 a month.
A good bunch of feeder cattle coming in.
Sure.
Now, they're going to need to run through a feedlot, so there's some feedlot guy that's going to be looking for feeder cattle. I'm just curious what happens when that first load, let's say it's, you know, just a couple 10,000, whatever, when they begin to come back in, is there a hole there open for them, or is it going to be kind of a market disruptor to kind of get them back into the flow with the rest of our own domestic feeder cattle supplies?
I think
is that too much?
It feels like we've been hearing this answer on AgriTalk, whether it's in the morning show or the afternoon show, too much lately. But I think the right answer to that is I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason that I say that is I don't recall anything similar to what is happening on the border with feeder cattle, and so we really don't have a whole lot to base analysis of what is going to happen going forward. but until it starts to open up and the cattle start to flow, I mean, you got to look at what happened in the March contract today, up $5.825.
Sure.
And realize that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
That absolutely can happen. It's a historic market. That's the bottom line.
It's pretty cool.
National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is January 28 through February 1. It's got above normal temperatures expected over most of the central and western corn belt, northern production areas as well. Indiana, most of Ohio looking, and Michigan looking at near normal temperatures. Below normal precipitation westward through Nebraska, South Dakota into Iowa, southern Minnesota, near normal precip in the eastern belt. Real quick on the 8 to 14 day, January 30th through Feb 5, above normal temperatures and near normal to above normal precipitation. Wow, wow, wow. Hey, we've got Emily Score, Growth Energy, tomorrow morning.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A deadly shooting in the cafeteria of Nashville's Antioch High School. The shooter was 17. He shot two students, one died, and then he shot and killed himself, a student.
We got to fifth period, and